Today's message comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 23, verses 16 through 24. This will be part five in our series, God's Justice for Our Time, and Matthew has something to say. This is what is read in the Gospel according to Matthew at the 23rd chapter, verse 16. Through verse 24. Woe to you, blind guides! You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gold of the temple is bound by that oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gift on the altar is bound by that oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, anyone who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And anyone who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And anyone who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. I'd like us to consider for today in God's justice for our time, what it means to fully honor God. What does it mean to fully honor God? There's a book titled Don't Sweat the Small Stuff by an author named Richard Carlson. In his book, he suggests that life would be far less complicated and more enjoyable if we just let go of the things that we focus too much on. If we would just stop focusing so much on minor things and give more attention to the important things in life. He goes on to infer that our lives would be fuller and less stressful if we could do that, believing that life would be more enjoyable, that we could live our lives more fully if we just pay more attention to what's truly important in life. I'd like to tell you that Mr. Carlson had a wonderful idea, but it wasn't his idea originally. Had he read Matthew's gospel at the 23rd chapter, and maybe he did, he would have come to the same conclusion that Jesus came to. Only Jesus was as concerned with people living a full life as he was with living that life fully honoring God. Now, neglect doesn't just happen. It may start out as a small oversight, a mental lapse or slip up in application. It may even happen because someone is paying too much attention to some things that aren't as important as some other things. But enough lapses and slip ups, and those lapses and slip-ups can quickly become items of pure neglect of the more important things. And if those oversights, turned into items of neglect, happen often enough, they can become blind spots for us, leading to neglect and miscarriages of justice. In this text, Jesus is addressing the scribes and Pharisees when he says, "Woe to you, blind guides!" Now, we might hear this being translated in our language today as shame on you. He says it seven times, beginning back at verse 13, although today our text picks up at his third shame on you. Only it's a more intense shame on you. Our story addresses Jesus's frustration with the religious leaders and their misunderstanding of God's main purpose for our lives. They seem to be guilty of constantly nitpicking over minor things and getting wrong God's purposes for what honoring God means. And while those minor things they lift up are important, Jesus holds that by focusing on the minor things, they keep making the mistake of missing the major thing. And where Jesus is concerned, that's a real problem, especially since what's on the table is the issue of justice and fully honoring God. In some ways, it might seem that this text is disconnected from God's justice for our time. Yet in reality, this text hits at the very heart of God's justice and what we should do about it. Jesus begins by addressing some things that he believes should be obvious to everyone. He's dealing with people for whom the oath has become an important moral issue of their day. Jesus suggests that they've gotten their priorities all out of order. They've considered the oath as more important than that on which the oath was sworn. And for Jesus, it doesn't matter whether that thing on the altar is the gold or the oath. He questions which makes which more important. Is it the altar or the gold? Is it the oath or the temple? And he asks the question rhetorically because they should see it, but they don't. They should know it, but they don't. They should have caught it, but they didn't. They missed it because they spent so much time focusing on the things they swore by rather than focusing on the God who should be honored by those things. And then Jesus gets to a major area of concern around their position. He reprimands them for not seeing what even Stevie Wonder can see and should be plainly visible to anyone looking to fully honor God. Jesus highlights the fact that while they've made every attempt to honor God by taking care of little things, the important, though less significant way of honoring God, they've missed the most important part that would enable them to fully honor God. Not only have they missed it, but they've neglected the more important matters of the law. They've acted as if those matters of law weren't there, either by choice or through ignorance, as if they had little or no significance at all. Or they had become so blind to them that they could no longer see them or chose not to see them out of convenience. It suggests that they've lost sight of what it means to fully honor God. They've now gotten the story all twisted, such that they believe they are fully honoring God, when in reality, they are missing the most important part. And to make the point even more clear, Jesus uses the image of the gnat and the camel. Jesus says they strain out the gnat, meaning they do everything possible to remove one of the smallest critters in all creation, all in an effort to honor God by upholding the law. But while they take great care to strain out the gnat, they turn around and swallow a great big old camel. In other words, they defile themselves by neglecting to do those things which are much more important, like doing justice, mercy, and faithfulness, or eating the camel. The camel and the gnat are both considered unclean in Jewish life. By neglecting to do justice, mercy, and faithfulness, we've taken that which is the most important part of fully honoring God, neglected it, and tagged the lives of people who are sacred to God and worthy of justice, mercy, and faithfulness as insignificant. And so Jesus asked the question of them and of us, which is more important, the law that guarantees justice for the life, or the life created by God that makes the law sacred? And Jesus would answer that question by saying that it's not an either or answer, but a both and response. The law that's supposed to guarantee justice is important, and yet we can't neglect the life that is to receive the justice and treat that life with contempt. The law is important, but if the law neglects that life that it's supposed to provide justice to, then we've become blind to God's primary purposes for the law and life. And God isn't fully honored if we value one without valuing the other. So if we examine God's justice for our world today, what does that mean? And I'll tell you the truth. And I'll tell you the truth according to God's word. The truth is we've missed the point. We've missed the big picture of God's purposes for our life and what's really important to fully honor God. And it seems that if there is any blame to be laid, It appears that the blame lies on the doorstep of those who are charged with the responsibility to get the message right. I know, because I may be one of many. And the truth of the matter is, it's easy to miss the point when there are so many points to be made. And unlike W.C. Fields, when I read the Bible, I'm not looking for loopholes. Yet the Bible is a large book, and in the book there are a lot of stories. Stories about life, stories about love, stories about pain and heartache and disappointment, but there's also stories about healing and joy and hope. There are stories about loyalty and disloyalty, faithfulness and faithlessness. There's trust and betrayal, law and grace, God and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the human Jesus and the divine Jesus, the Holy Spirit, church, salvation, repentance, life and death, wealth and poverty, trust and mistrust, sanctification or consecration. And there are a lot of other topics and subtopics from cover to cover. So which one of all of the ones I've named, not neglecting to consider the ones I didn't name, do you believe is the most important? And in truth, I'd have to tell you that they all are. They are all important and are a part of what it means to fully honor God. Or did you forget about obedience and disobedience as it relates to believing or disbelieving? I can tell you what the Bible says, quoting Paul in the second chapter of Romans. He says, "For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous in God's sight, but the doers of the law who will be justified. When Gentiles, who do not possess the law, do instinctively what the law requires, these, though not having the law, are a law to themselves. They show that what the law requires is written on their hearts, to which their own conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts will accuse or perhaps excuse them on the day when, according to my gospel, God through Jesus Christ will judge the secret thoughts of all." Now, I offer this text for no other reason than to say that sometimes we miss the point. We miss the point because in some ways I've missed the main point. And we've missed the main point of God's purpose for our lives, especially when it comes to fully honoring God. Because the point is, some things are more important than others. While all the things we do to honor God are important, some do more to fully honor God than others. Now, the others can't and shouldn't be dismissed. We can't honor the altar without honoring the things on the altar. We can't honor the temple without honoring those things in the temple. And we can't honor the place where God sits without honoring the God who sits there. It's God who makes all things honorable, and that includes us. And so we can't honor God, the Creator, without honoring the things that God created. It's important to value those things designed and created by God. Honoring the temple, honoring the altar, honoring the throne of God are all important and necessary. Tithing, mint, dill, and cumin, the 10% of our gross income or the 10% of our net income are all important. Not neglecting to worship together, as has become the habit of some, is also important. They all weigh on the scale of what it means to fully honor God. But the weightier matter of honoring God can't be neglected. Paul even helped us understand one of the weightiest matters of all when it came to fully honoring God. Paul was so certain of his discovery and what it meant for him as he sought to fully honor God that he wrote these words to the Corinthian church. He said, "If I speak in tongues of mortals and of angels, but I do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, then I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing." He says that love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love. And yet for all of the power and the weight of these words expressed to fully honor God, we've managed to take a major tenet of what it means to honor God and turn it into a minor, sugary sweet verse that we read at weddings to express the human love between a man and a woman. And don't misunderstand me. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the scripture shouldn't be read. But like the scribes and the Pharisees of Jesus's day, it leads people to miss the point. It drives people out of the context of the real meaning of truly honoring God into a place where something major becomes minor. And love is important, important enough for Jesus to have given us a new commandment to do it. And we should. But the fact that we've converted Paul's explanation of what agape love is into a wedding liturgy only emphasizes the fact that some things are more important than others. You see, friends, we've concentrated on minor things while the truly important things have been relegated as less important. And that's not to say that the other ways of honoring God aren't important. We spent our time building Christ's church around all the things we thought were important. We focused on elaborate buildings honoring God. We focused on worship in ways that point to our ability to major in the minors. And so we've taken great care to decide what color the carpet is or where the altar is placed and how and where we place the candle stands. We've taken great care to honor God by acknowledging our holy seasons, making sure that the Advent candles are lighted and that the Christmas decorations are all out, that we impose the ashes during Lent and place Easter lilies out that adorn the sanctuary. We make sure that we honor the mothers on Mother's Day and the fathers on Father's Day. We provide Bible studies for those eager to learn more about our religious and theological history and about God and Christ and the faith that we hold so dear. We've taken great care through the advancements of technology to ensure that persons who are unable to worship in person are able to be present to worship and honor God from remote locations in their homes. Our gifts given to honor God are important, as they allow us by God's grace to continue to do those seemingly minor but important things that are evidence that we at least honor God in part. All of those things are important, and we should keep doing those things as they are important and honor our God in meaningful ways. But they're not nearly as important as honoring the gift that God has given to us. But in my experience, we've been far more concerned about doing justice when an injustice has been to us than we are when someone else is going through things. We've been far more concerned about mercy when we've been caught in a violation of the law than when someone else is up against it legally. And we're more concerned about faithfulness when it's due us than when it's due someone else. And God is not fully honored until we move justice, mercy, and faithfulness to the scales of honoring each other so that we can enter into a relationship doing what it means to fully honor God. You see, friends, until we honor God by doing justice among and with each other, showing mercy to each other, and practicing faithfulness to God and each other, what good does it do if in all of our efforts to honor God with our traditions and events, and for whatever reason, we neglect to do justice, mercy, and faithfulness as acts that fully honor God and honor each other as God's gift of life? What purpose does it serve if when we say we love God, we then deny one another the gift of God's law that requires us to do justice among one another, show mercy and compassion to one another, and live in faithfulness to the covenant we've made with God and Jesus Christ to love one another as Christ has loved us? If we only give and celebrate festive days, how is justice done? If we only learn about God without putting God's purposes into action, how are God's purposes for our lives fulfilled? More importantly, how is God fully honored? If we remain blind to what God's purposes are for our lives, how are we to teach or show others how to do justice or what doing justice means? How are we to show mercy or teach others what mercy means? How then are we to show faithfulness and teach faithfulness if faithfulness has not become a part of how we fully honor God and each other? You see, brothers and sisters, to major in minors, doing all of the minor technical things while neglecting to do the most important major things, like doing justice, mercy, and faithfulness, prevents us from fully honoring God. So let's move justice from the back burner of neglect to the front burner of honoring God and turn up the heat on doing justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Let's take doing justice, mercy, and faithfulness off of the bench of life and make justice and mercy and faithfulness a major player in our efforts to fully honor God. Let's continue to do those minor things, never forgetting that those things, celebrating the holy days of our faith and honoring God's temple and those things within it, following the traditions of tithing and blessings that God has given us, are an important part of what it means to honor God. But let's also remember that according to Jesus, there is a more important part. There is justice, standing up for the oppressed, the widows, the foreigner, and those on the margins of life and culture. There is mercy, showing tenderness and caring empathy for the sick and the sympathy for those who are grieving and providing for those considered the have-nots in our society. And there is faithfulness. That faithfulness that is displayed openly when we live in covenant with God, God's word, and God's people to love one another as Christ has loved us, letting our light shine for others to see as we give honor to God, where others can see justice and mercy as a reality in our world, and praise God who is faithful and merciful and abounding in steadfast love. That's the most important part, doing justice. Mercy and faithfulness. It's the part we should definitely do if we are to avoid majoring in minors and live lives fully honoring God. And that's the word of God for the people of God.